There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today, our very special guest is none other than Jen Brister.
The crowd goes wild.
Hello, Jen Brister. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very happy to be here because I've been harassing you to get on your podcast, and you've been very busy with touring and Edinburgh and touring.
Yeah.
And so I'm super happy to be here. But the circumstances of being here are not what I expected.
Well, let's just lay it out on the table. So,
paint a picture with your words, Ellie Gibson.
So we're in my lounge, as is pretty standard for a podcast recording. And there's no one else in my... It's the middle of the day, kids are at school, husband's at work. And the doorknob was kept falling off the door last week. So I'm going to blame him. My husband took it out of the door and put it in a safe place. And then, all right, I'll take some responsibility. But, you know, when we came in here just 10 minutes ago, I thought I'll shut the door, make it cosy, forgetting that would lock the door and thus lock all three of us in the room.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are locked in Ellie's living room. We can't get out. And there's a vague sense before I arrived that I needed the toilet. And then as soon as you know you can't use the toilet, there's a sense of urgency, isn't there? Where you go, what if I piss myself? But we've already established that there's somewhere I can go.
I've offered you Joe's red fireman bucket.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be none the worse. Helen will tell you I can piss anywhere. Could you piss in front of us in a red fireman's bucket if it came to it?
Yeah. Sadly, I could.
That is that sort of thing. That's how Britain won two world wars.
Yeah.
It's that kind of attitude. Jen. Yeah.
And that's the kind of attitude we all need post-Brexit. So...
We're just playing it out.
I know we haven't gone through yet, but we're already pissing in buckets in living rooms.
It's like the fire festival. It's gone rogue. Everything is not what you were promised.
No. And also you have plied me with tea. I don't know what this is all about, but fine. Oh. I'll accept it was an accident.
It is, yeah. So we are, to be clear, we are locked in the front room. We don't have any food. Probably might be some raisins under the sofa.
I saw a chocolate Easter egg.
Oh no, wait, there's chocolate Easter egg, and also there's the pork scratchings advent calendar Pete bought me for Christmas that I haven't opened properly yet.
So Christmas is saved.
Panic is over. We've got a pork scratching in there. I can't wait to crack into that.
We don't need to go anywhere. We can just stay here and pretend Brexit's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Helen was like, we can get Deliveroo out the window. I was like, she's thinking of everything.
We could murder you. You'd have nowhere to go.
I need never go anywhere after here. She's pissed in a bucket. We killed her. The end.
We've all had kids, you know, we don't need anymore.
We don't need to go any further, do we?
Our life dreams.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, all of our lives are over. So what's the point of continuing?
Yeah, so we did obviously what any grown woman would do in a difficult situation and called my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, he can't help us if he's on the walk. So then we called Inga, the lovely Inga who looks after my children. I don't remember saying in the job description, also you might have to come around my house in the middle of the day.
And Jimmy the lock.
And let a comedian out of my lounge. But here we are.
That's it.
Life throws up unexpected
I think
terms.
We're all coping with it very well.
Yes. on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you need to wee right now, Jen?
I think I'm just at a 5, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So I'm very... I feel certain that my pelvic floor can hold on a little bit longer.
Yeah, I was going to say, having given birth twice, I'd say 5 is a general state for me now.
I mean, exactly. I mean, having never given birth, I'm probably... I mean, I would like to say my pelvic floor is probably stronger than yours, but I don't think it is. I sneeze and things happen. So, God only knows what would have happened if I'd actually had a child bearing down on my...
Well, you know, perhaps you'd probably be pissing in that bucket already, let's just say
that. Let's be honest,
it would have been a different day.
I'd probably be in a nappy. It'd been a very different day.
Oh, yes, a nappy. We don't have one of those.
No, don't have any of those. Inga's got nappies, though, because she's got Alfie, who's like one.
She could put it through the window.
I'll message her, tell her to bring some nappies just
in case. Would that take an adult wee, or would that just... Because kids' wee is not so much, is it?
Yeah, well it is a common thing that we ask our audience about. Has anyone weed in a nappy?
And there's always one.
Yeah, at least one
always.
Who does it.
In what situation?
So often when, like, the baby's asleep in the car and they don't want to wake the baby up, like if they're on the motorway and they're stuck in traffic, we've had, if they're at a service station, which I was like, why not just go into the service station, or she didn't want to wake the baby up and do that. We did have a lady in Twickenham who, because we would say, you know, who's weeding a nappy, and she put her hand up and I still yes, and how many nappies did you need, because as you say, one doesn't always hold, and she said, oh, I did a shit. So, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that's, I mean, what do you do with that? That's great.
Yeah. We said, well, we didn't ask for that. I mean, but thank you for sharing.
But seriously, if you've got to go, then why not go in the nappy?
Famous poet Holly McNish said she once did that. She was locked in a room and she had to do shit in a nappy.
Did she do it? Was it a nappy or a carrier bag? I can't remember.
But again,
either way, it's a strong image, isn't it?
It is
a strong image. Yeah, and also,
I love their work.
At least with a carrier bag, you can tie that bad boy up. But anyway,
double bag it. I mean, I feel like
we've got
really
off topic.
Pissed, really.
I like the way this podcast has started, and I'm glad that we've peaked quite early on.
Yeah.
So I feel like we can go anywhere from
here. No, the peak is going to be in about 38 minutes. With the peak's going to be the sound of you pissing in the.
I can see the bucket from here, actually. Oh, right, if anything, it's not helping.
We will draw the curtains, so
at least privacy.
We'll see. Now, come on, who are you, Jen Brister? Introduce yourself.
I am a stand-up comedian, and I don't know what else to say. I'm a stand-up, and I've been doing comedy for many, many years. And you may have seen me on... I've done a bit of telly. You might have seen me do a tiny weeny bit of television, but probably you've heard me on a podcast, or you've seen me live if you've heard of me at all.
And you've done a book?
Oh, yes, and a book, sorry.
And I've written an author, an actual author.
A real-life human author, and I've written a book, yes. So any one of those things means that you might know who I am, or otherwise you'll be like, I don't know who she is. Google me, all right?
And watch her fucking... how many times have you been on Live at the Apollo?
Just the once.
It is so good. It is so funny and so brilliant. I especially do like when you're talking about your mother... pronouncing your brother's name.
Do you know what? That bit of material, I find it, it's so strange when you write comedy and you think, this is the joke that I love and no one loves it. And the joke that's kind of like something you improvised on stage once suddenly becomes the thing that everybody loves, that thing that you do with your mum. And it's basically me doing an impersonation of my mum pronouncing my brother's name. And I'm like, guys, come on, we're all better than this, aren't we? We're all better than an accent.
So what is your brother's name?
Esteban.
Esteban. Steve Davis, Stephen Hawking. Esteban.
So the joke is that my mum can't pronounce my brother's name. That joke is.
It makes me wet my pants. I can't even you say it now. I mean, basically, laughing.
Come up to
I'm me laughing at foreigners. That's what I'm saying.
That's it. People love a foreign accent.
Because she's Spanish, your mum.
My mum's Spanish,
Why did she choose Stephen? And Jen's not a particularly Spanish name, or is it actually Juan?
It's Juan, yeah.
Juan Brister. Great to have you on the show.
Juan! I've shaved, so people don't always get that. But I think my mum did it because my dad is very racist and didn't like any Spanish names, and was like, well, they're grown up in the UK, so they ought to have a British, this is the accent I'm going to give my father, they ought to have a British name. So we've all got this very...
He's secretly from Colombia, but let's not talk about that now.
Yeah, he is. So we've all got these sort of Englishish names, I suppose, and which is like, so my... I am quite a little bit beige. I do look a little bit foreign, less so now, less so in the winter, but in the summer, I remember when I was really young and I went to go for an interview for some crap temp job, you know, for like Office Angels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you're not actually interviewing for a job, you're just interviewing to be on Office Angels books.
Mm. So and if you can sort of put two words together and...
Yeah, I mean, like, it takes very little. And then the guy was about, I don't know, you know when someone's a manager, but they're about 11. And I was like, the suit was too big. Everything about him was like, I feel very little authority emanating from your bones. And he said to me, oh, he looked at me and then he looked at my CV, went, oh, you're a little bit browner than your name suggests.
Wow.
I mean, I suppose that was ages, it was about 20 years ago, but I was like, even at the time, I was like, are we saying that sort of?
Yeah.
I don't even have words to reply to that. It's extraordinary.
I said, I don't know what to tell you. That's my name.
Yeah. And if he's saying that to the white people, like, what? I know. What's going on?
I was expecting something a bit different.
He sounds brilliant.
Amazing.
He's probably a CEO of ICI now. But I'm... Now I'm trying to do a little bit more writing and trying to get off the circuit, I think, because I've been on the circuit as a comedian for so many years, so many years. And as I get older, and now that I've got kids, you say, then that means I want to be away less. You'd think I'd want to be away more, wouldn't you?
No, it's funny you actually end up liking your children. It's a weird thing.
It's so
weird.
And
when they get older, because, you know, yours are 5 now, they're quite nice to chat to and hang out with. And you do feel sorry for them. They're like, please come home, mummy. And you're like,
They're like, why are you going away again? I'm like, oh, it's trying hard to explain to you my job, but I have been doing this for longer than you've been alive. Bye.
So is it last year's Edinburgh show you're doing at the moment? Because so this is how funny it is. We did a double bill with you in Brighton. So you did your show and then we did our show. And obviously we loved your show. We laughed very hard. My dad, who's our roadie, was there. He laughed harder at your show.
That's because he's seen your show.
No, than he's ever laughed at our show.
I've never seen him laugh like that before.
The man was literally stamping the floor. What was the bit about William Hague or the Tories? Or
Toby Young. Oh my God. There's a bit of taking the piss out of Toby Young, and I think he appreciated that.
I thought he was going to die.
Yeah, honestly. We did. We thought he was having some kind of attack. And Jim is he's a man of 70, and he has been a comedian and an actor for 50 years, and, you know, he's seen a lot, but he loved your show.
Oh,
as did
lovely.
We, but we didn't have some kind of aneurysm as a result of it. But God, we did walk away going, she's really good. Like really clever jokes,
and as we all know, if another comedian laughs at your jokes, that's like triple points.
I was going to say that is triple points. If a comedian sniggers at anything that you do, you're like flipping it. That's staying in, because mostly it's like mostly when you see comedians at your gigs, they've got like the face like an Easter Island head, haven't they? Just like literally no movement, and then they'll come up to you at the end and go, "That was brilliant. I loved it." It's like, well, telly-face.
So you've got five twins, isn't it?
Yeah, boys, they're five.
I've got a 5-year-old boy as well, and I do think they've turned a little corner. Well, mine's turned a little corner. Once they can like do things like actually get into a car themselves, like there's less picking up, isn't there? Picking up, but they're young enough that you can still bribe them with like biscuits.
Biscuits and lies.
Whereas my 8-year-old, you know,
he's wily now.
He's not even into match attacks anymore. I'm fucked. Match attacks was the currency to make him do things.
What's match attacks?
Oh, it's like football cards. It's like Panini stickers from the olden times, except they're not even stickers, and they're just cards. So they're just fucking. You don't get chewing gum in the packets like with Cabbage Patch cards.
I don't understand these cards. They got these Star Wars cards. They're like, collect the cards, and I'm like, but which? What do you do with the cards once you've got the cards? You just keep them in a pile with an elastic band around them.
Yeah. They're sort of like Top Trumps. They have got stats on them. You can play an incredibly dull version of Top Trumps, but obviously it always ends up that someone gets, you know, Ronaldo, and then someone else gets...
Harry Kane or someone.
Well, not even Harry Kane, like, you know, Colin... so-and-so from Winchester FC who can barely kick a ball. Yeah. And obviously they're going to win.
I've got literally no idea what you're talking about. I kind of know who Ronaldo is, but that's about it.
What are your kids into? What's their...
Star Wars.
Oh.
Well, one of them's really into Star Wars. He loves... It's very, you know... they're twins, but obviously it was IVF, so they're fraternal, so they're not identical. They're very, very different.
So not from the same egg?
No. So it's not an egg that splits, two separate embryos. And one of them is really into all boy things. So like if you gave him something pink, he'd be like, I'm not having that, it's pink. Like you, literally anything vaguely girly, he freaks out. And the other one is like really into like superheroes, but only if they're girls. And he really likes things like just imagination and dressing up. Like one of his favourite outfits is a ladybird, where he puts a ladybird skirt on his bottom, but a ladybird skirt on his top. We had to buy two ladybird outfits, and he's got his like wand, and he's got a princess dress. He loves getting dressed up. Mainly, he likes just getting dressed up as a superhero or as a princess. But they sort of...
Well, obviously you'll be putting a stop to that.
Oh, I'm not having any of that, good God. Only the normals allowed in our house. Only butch lezzers in our house. No.
A lot of flat shoes.
Good God, man. Put the makeup away. So they're very different, but they get on. They love playing together, but they're just into different stuff. But somehow it kind of works because they can bring both of the things that they love together, and they seem to be able to play.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful for the fact that they play, because I know friends of ours who've got like one kid, you know, they still have to sit down and play with their children.
Fucking tedious.
And oh my fucking God. And also you can't play with them, because like the second I'm like, oh, so Spider-Man, what's he doing? Is he the... No, Spider-Man doesn't do that. Maybe Thor is walking over it. Thor can't walk. He's got no legs. You're like...
I haven't seen that film.
Fuck me. Why am I even here? They just like you to sit next to them while they play. So they play together and then I can have a cup of coffee and just, you know, ignore them. That's just a
dream.
That is a dream. I mean, the first 3 years of their lives was hell, but now it's great.
We haven't had too many twin mums on before. So that's good, because like we've all had single child and that was hard enough. But you had like two boys...
As the first
attempt at parenthood.
Yeah, because we don't know any different, so, you know, it was very difficult, but we had nothing to compare it to. You know, people that have a child and then they have a second kid and it's twins, I mean, I don't know how those people cope.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's...
And our two didn't... We had twins, but two babies that didn't fucking sleep, so that was really tough. So we had... I think it was really 2.5 years before they both started to sleep through the night.
Mm.
And then when they got to three, then they stopped sleeping again. So we were just like, you people need to leave now.
Yes. Right, I expect you're practicing a lot of contraception. I mean, we could stop those.
Honestly. I've got it's all in one latex. Actually, I just sort of wrapped cling film around my entire body. But fortunately, she hasn't wanted to touch me for 3 years, so it's fine.
Oh, great. That's lovely.
Well, that's what happens, isn't it? You have children, you're like, I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the point where you think, well, we could have sex now, couldn't we? And you just think, but it'd take too long. Should we have a bacon sandwich? And you're like, yeah, I'm happy with that.
It'll be over quicker.
Yeah. Thing is, when it's with two women, it's never over quicker. It just goes on and on and on and on.
Oh, like a Brookside omnibus.
Yes. You see, dear God, is it not enough that one of us is... Anyway.
You're painting a great picture.
I'm painting a great picture. Too much information.
And as you said, your wife was the one who did the birthing. Was that an easy decision to decide she would be the pregnant one?
Yeah.
The tummy mummy?
Yeah, well, the conversation was very much like, do you want them? Well, I'm not really bothered about being pregnant. Okay, I'll do it. I'd be jealous if you got pregnant. Fine, great. So... It was quite relatively easy, and I don't think I was bothered. And I mean, I know it's quite a primal biological urge to want to be pregnant, isn't it? Mm. Which I just didn't have. And I think we're quite lucky that I wanted to have children, and I want to raise children, but I wasn't fussed about being pregnant.
Mm.
And because I'd got to that point where I was in my late 30s, so I thought I didn't. God, I didn't. Physically feel like I wanted to do it at that point. That's something that I think if I had been in my early 30s or late 20s, I'd have been like, yeah, sure, if you can't, I'll definitely give it a go. But I was like, please, please let this work, because I don't want to have to try. So I don't know, but it was more for me that I think being pregnant and then giving birth is hard enough when that is something that you really want and it's something that you're 100% sure of. But if it's like, I'm not feeling it, then I think that's going to make it harder.
You just want the baby. I just want it to be like Argos. I want to just put the Argos in. Wait around for a few minutes.
Is that unreasonable?
And then just,
it's quite hard filling in that form without your glasses, and I've done it, so... I feel like I should be rewarded with a child. Thank you.
That's reasonable. No, that's good.
I was lucky because Chloe was happy. She wanted to be pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's a lucky business.
I just don't think women are given enough anything, really. I just, like, the whole thing of what women have to do to have children, I just think there needs to be more, like, did you get a medal or some sort of...
I felt like we need some kind of fanfare at the end, because it was a big thing, like, giving birth, carrying it, and all the breastfeeding and all the other...
Repairing your body, some sort of, I don't know, holiday, or maybe your partner could... I don't know, just hold you aloft down the street and celebrate you. Or,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I did that. I did none of those things, but I feel like maybe I should have. I don't know.
Exchange of labour, literally. So, like, quite often I'll be like, oh, can you take the bins out? And people will be like, oh, you haven't taken it. And I'll be like, I gave birth twice.
So that's it forever.
So I like to say, that's a debt you can never repay. He loves it when I say that.
But to be fair, you are correct.
Well, I mean...
Is it working?
He takes a lot of bins out. Yeah. I haven't taken the bins out for about 4 years, so yeah.
Okay, fine. At least you're getting something back for it.
Yeah. So that decision was sort of easy, but then you write in your book about how choosing sperm from a sperm donor is harder than choosing what to watch on Netflix
and that's
as
tricky.
A couple. And that's impossible.
We've spent evenings just looking at what to choose and then going, well, that was a lovely evening. Good night then. And we've chosen nothing. Yeah, the choosing the sperm thing. Wow, what a wormhole that turned.
So again, do you get like an Argos catalogue? Is it like
the Bowdoin catalogue? Just people of like men walking down the beach.
Did you accidentally order a kettle at one
men walking down the beach? Yeah, that's what it is. It's just athletic models.
Just pointing at things.
Hem, please. His sister an IQ of 201. Yes, please.
And then you realise it's cheaper on Amazon. Is it like that?
Yeah, it was 2 for 1 on Amazon. And fingers crossed, they'll have 2 eyes. You can do it in so many different ways. Okay, so there's the European Sperm Bank, which I suppose is the largest international sperm bank, and that sounds like they only take sperm from Europe, but they don't. They seem to take it from fucking everywhere. You get so much more information. Okay, so the reason why we chose that sperm bank is because the amount of information given to you means that you're like, I think I'm getting a better idea of who this person is. Mm-hmm. But you can search under almost anything. What is the thing that you would like for your children? Oh, I want them to be tall. Mm.
Not a murderer.
Not a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, you can kind of do that.
Okay.
with hobbies.
Yeah. Not a racist. Can you search? I'm just going with negative things.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, like, these are all the things that you're never going to know.
Doesn't wear red trousers. You're never going to know
if he likes chinos and wears boat shoes with no socks. You'll never know that.
But does it show, like, their political views, though, and things like that?
No. So what you get is... But what you do get is you'll get, like, an interview with them. So you can hear them talking, and then you can kind of figure out if they seem like quite a cool guy or a bit of a douche. So, And they'll give you loads of information, like their height, their weight, if they've got thin hair, lots of hair, curly hair, straight hair, long hair, short hair.
It's like Guess
eyes.
Who?
Yeah, it's literally like Guess
Eric.
Who.
Yeah. I don't want that one with the beard and no moustache. That's weird.
Does he wear glasses? Tick, 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 tick. So it is a bit like that. And then you're left with Claire and you're like, how do we end up with Claire?
Always Claire.
It's always Claire. It's because we said we wanted someone who wears a hat. Damn it. It is quite tricky to pick, but you do get there eventually. And then inevitably, once you've picked, you're like, it kind of a little bit of you's like, wow, this guy, I don't care. Because you've spent such a long time, you're like, okay, let's watch fucking the Crown Series 4 again. Whatever. You're like,
you just don't buy a house where you're like, oh, well, right, the garden's a bit shit. Oh, it's a bit further from the station than we thought, but fuck it.
At the beginning, you're like, I want him to be, socially conscious. I want him to have, he's got to be tall. He's got to have a swarthy skin. He must really love animals. He must have a high IQ. And you're like, has he got what colour is brown hair? All right, fine, we'll do that. You settle quicker than you expect. Mm. But ultimately, the thing that we kind of were very clear about is that some information you do get is sort of physical health, so you can find out about certain things, like, is there cancer in the family, or is there a history of dementia or Alzheimer's? And you can see that, because they have to declare all of that, and then you can kind of go, okay, so all of the women in his family have got breast cancer, so maybe we'll swerve that, or all of the grandparents have got dementia, so we'll maybe... I mean, you can't... Ultimately, you can't... But we try to have... to make that was the biggest priority, was, I guess, health. And then I was quite keen on IQ. Chloe was really keen on how attractive he was. So we kind of just went for a sort of a hunchback with my size. And
his parents lived to be 170.
Yeah. His parents were really old. And we're happy with that.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you never know what you're going to get, do you?
No, and that's it. And also...
it kind of doesn't matter. Absolutely.
When you find out, you know, when you have your children, often you find out things about your own partner that you didn't know before. Like, there's like a hidden, locked away personality that you didn't know that they were going to be like that at 4 a.m. Really cunty.
Yeah.
And just a bit like a child. So there's, yeah, that parenthood does unlock secret bits of your personality, I think, that you would not, you know, or just in times of stress, like if you're locked in someone's front room.
Yeah. How are we, Jen, on the scale of 1 to 10? Where are we now?
Well, I've probably moved on to 5.5 these days. So I'm still okay.
You're still right. Yeah.
Because I left that tea.
Yeah.
If I'd have finished that tea, we would have been on about 7 or 8 by now.
All right.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well.
But, and also, it's kind of psychological. You've distracted me. But now you've mentioned it again.
Oh, no. I've alerted the downstairs.
Uh-oh, the downstairs has been alerted.
Just let me know if I need to empty the bucket. That's fine. No problem. So how was the birth? Did you stay at the head end? Because I would be a bit like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want it, because I've got one of those. I don't know if I want to see what happens to it. Or were you like, no, let's get stuck in.
Well, it was cesarean, so it was, because they were both breech. And I don't know if there's other twin parents, mums listening to them. I don't know what their experience was, but ours was very much, the doctors just did not want Chloe to give birth naturally. Like, they were very clear. They were like, well, obviously, if they're both head down, you can, but we would prefer it if we would recommend a cesarean. And Chloe was like, well, if they're both head down, I'm going to go for it. And they were like, well, we still think, you know, you should consider a cesarean. And Chloe was like, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. And they were banging on about cesareans from the get-go. And as it turned out, they were both breech and stayed breech for the entire pregnancy, actually. So that choice was taken away from us. They were like, there's no way we're going to allow that to... I mean, if we had really pushed for it, they would, but they kept on saying, well, if you want a dead baby, sure, go for it. You know, they were like, they were very sort of, you are putting your child's and your life in risk if you do this. So we were like, fine. So we went for cesarean. And frankly, for me, I was like, give a fuck. Yeah, let's whip him out. Yeah. And then it's all fine and dandy. And it kind of, I've realised that I'm probably not very good in stressful situations that involve Chloe having her body cut open. But
it's good to know this now.
It was good to know. Once I saw them kind of cutting her open, I was like,
So did you see the actual... You didn't...
Yeah, I saw it all.
Oh, well, I wasn't... Didn't they put the little blue curtain over? You didn't...
They do, but I...
You peered over. I kept looking.
I was looking, yeah. Mm. And part of me was like absolutely fascinated by it. And the other part of me was like, this is the woman I love. And I'm watching her body be cut open. And it was kind of weird. And so I was like borderline always on tears. This is too emotional, and borderline like, what's going on here? You know, there's a bit
like you're watching a Channel 5 documentary.
Yeah, it's like half in a Channel 5 documentary, half in I love you, darling, and they're cutting you open. And then when they pulled out our first boy, when Luca was pulled out, then my brain just blew up. Then I was like, I don't know what to... this is insane.
Mm. Like, in a good way. Like,
This is it. Like, there's an actual human being. And also, because they don't really look human. They're like, and this is your son. You know, he looks like an alien.
And you're like, I knew we shouldn't have gone with that giraffe spur. I told you.
Oh, God, it's fine. This hunchback looks great. Because they're all covered in scum and they look weird. And because he wasn't pushed out through the birth canal, a lot of that scum goes, doesn't it, when they're born naturally. And when they come out cesarean, they're just...
very slimy.
They're, like, covered in this stuff. So, But the whole birth was for me overwhelming. But had it been a natural birth, maybe I would have dealt with that a bit better, because it obviously takes a lot longer, and I could have done the "I'm with you here, I'm with." But
it's quite immediate, isn't it? So did Chloe go in at a scheduled time? You're like, you will become parents at 2:05 on a Wednesday.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. So we knew, we went, so, and that is a bizarre thing, to go to bed and then to know that Chloe was going to have a cesarean at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 25th of September 2014. And on the 24th of September, we went to bed going, okay, so we're going to have twins this time tomorrow. Wow. And that's what we're doing. Okay, good night.
At least we know what they look like.
Yeah. Did you do, because you can do those apps where you mold two faces together. You could have got Chloe's face and the sperm man's face.
We don't know what he looks like.
Oh, so you didn't see a photo? Oh, right, you don't get a photo, no?
No, you never know. They're anonymous.
Right.
So you get all the information apart from what they look like.
Oh, so you don't get the man from the Bowdoin catalogue walking down the beach.
No, you don't.
Oh, you just get stats.
You get a baby photo of them.
Do they know that they're...
Yeah, they'll be informed. They'll so this young chap who donated his sperm will know that he has two... sons somewhere in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah, or two children. He might not even know their sons.
If they want to contact him,
he's
that thing?
He's open to it. Yeah, so again, that's another option that you can choose under, is the donor that is open to being contacted. And there's quite a big percentage of donors, understandably, who are like, I'm just donating and I don't really want to be contacted. And so then you will shut off quite a big chunk of people. But we were like... we didn't feel like we could make that decision for our children to go, listen, this whole side of your, genetics, we're not going to make sure it's impossible for you to find out any information about it.
Yeah.
So at least if they want to, when they become, when they're 16, 17, whatever, if they decide they want to contact the donor, he's open to it.
Would that bother you, do you think? Or do you think it's a bit early to...
I don't think so. I think... Before the children were born, thinking about it, I was like, oh, fuck that guy.
But now, or don't, yeah, obviously, exactly. In your case.
Please don't. But now, I'm like, well, who is he? He's just, he's the donor. And I'm, they're my children. So I don't have that insecurity that I thought I would have before my children arrived. But now I don't. Because, I know that they'll be like, if they meet him, and by some freak thing they have they do develop a relationship, it'll be a completely different relationship anyway. So it'll be a separate thing, and if it works out and that happens, I would welcome that because it wouldn't detract from my relationship with them. So.
It's a different start point, isn't it? As well, you've raised them. You've
done 3 years of no sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
He just did a little thing in a jar.
Yeah, he just did a petri dish. So. I don't have those insecurities, but I think I would have had we had a donor who was always present, because then it's like, you're the father, you're the mother, who the fuck am I? So that's why it was really important to me. And maybe that would have been fine, I don't know. But certainly at the point where we were deciding about wanting children, I said to Chloe, could we please have an anonymous donor, just because it's really important to me? And she was like, yeah, fine, that's totally cool. And also, who are we going to...
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing to ask somebody.
Because I've got friends, lesbian friends, who've asked a male friend, and I've got a couple of gay male friends who have donated. And it's not easy, from what I've heard from both sides, because they've decided at the beginning what it's going to be like, but then things change.
Of course.
And expectations and how much they want to be involved. But also, the male donors... male partner, how he feels about not being involved in that and all that. So I can understand why you've chosen that path.
Yeah,
it's a life. It's
another set of grandparents.
Yeah, 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 and all those. Well,
because I've got a friend of mine and he's donated his sperm and he's the father, but they live in New York, so he goes to New York 3 or 4 times a year to see his son, and then his parents want to have contact with their grandson, but they've already got he's already got two lots of grandparents because his pair, he's got two mums, and they make it work and it's fine, but for me, I'm like, that is too much for me
yeah
to come to you know, I really enjoy our unit and being together and having that, you know, being that close. Mm. And I don't think I would want to share my children now. I wouldn't want to share them with anyone else, which I don't think you'd have to if you had a donor that was around.
Mm.
So I'm glad that we did what we did, basically.
Yeah. Has it sort of worked out like you thought it would?
In what way?
In terms of, like, is being a mum kind of what you expected it to be? Has your and Chloe's relationship kind of been what you expected it to be?
Yeah. I mean, oh God, I don't know. That's blimey. Do you know what? You'd think I'd have been asked that before, but I
haven't.
Thanks,
Dr. Phil.
You're very welcome. Wow.
Flicking hell, Ellie.
It's got really deep.
Just sometimes accidentally do a bit of journalism. Just by accident, do a bit of the old journalism there.
Fucking hell.
Sorry, mate. It just comes out of me. I can't stop it.
Yeah,
I'm going to need that fireman's bucket if this carries on.
So deep.
Oh, God. I don't know. I think... does anyone know what it's going to be like? Because you have an idea, don't you?
No.
And then it happens, and it's not that.
Mm.
But in other ways, it is that. So in some ways, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. I had no illusions. I knew it was going to be hard. I don't think I knew how hard it was going to be. I don't think I understood what sleep deprivation really was until I was neck deep in it 3 years in. And there's lots of things that I didn't think... I didn't think I was going to be as patient as I am, because I'm a very impatient, usually confrontational, quite aggressive woman. And I thought... that would really come out when I had children, and that was the main concern, that I would be like, oh, I ain't fucking kids, but I'm so patient with them, and I very rarely lose my temper, and that has been a real surprise for me. So I was not expecting, I didn't even know that I had that personality. I didn't even know that was in my locker. That's new to me.
It's like a game. You've unlocked a secret level.
This is my theory, which you may disagree with, but I think you're biologically programmed to love them so that you don't lose your shit with them all the time. Because if you didn't have this overpowering love, you would... If a normal person behaved like your children behave, you'd fucking stab them.
Of course.
It's like...
At the very least, you'd
be like, I don't want you in my life. I can't deal with this bullshit. So there must be something, I think, that you're programmed to not kick them out of the nest, right? To override that the love over is stronger than the rage.
Mm. I mean, it's tricky because I don't have any sort of genetic connection to my children. Then I suppose I don't know, because somebody said to me, well, it's blood, isn't it? And I was like, well, it's not for us, for me, isn't it? I've got no blood connection to my children. But I guess you'll still have that. If you are a person that's decided that once your children are born, then I guess you are biologically, that irrespective of that genetics, you are still biologically programmed to love them in a way, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, because they you see them at the point of when they're born, so they're immediately like, oh, you're mine. And even if you don't immediately feel that connection, which I imagine a lot of dads are the same, they're like, it was a blob, I didn't know what to do with it. You eventually, that bond just happens because your immediate feeling is to protect them, and then you eventually will just fall in love with them. And I think, you know, it's the same if you adopt your children and they're like 3, 4, or 5, your initially when you have your children, you'll be like, right, I just need to protect you, and I'm going to look after you, and I'm going to care for you. And then, you know, within 6 months, a year, 2 years, you're like, I'll die for you. You know, that's just what happens when you fall in love with your children. I don't know. So there was big parts of it that I was like, this is exactly what I expected. But other bits, I was like, this is a horror show.
Did you find out the sex before you guys had the babies? Like, were you aiming for twins, or was that just a lovely gift?
The twins thing, fucking hell.
Have you watched a lot of that film with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, and you're like, that's what we want.
A big one, a little fat one.
I think we were just real, just idiots. I mean, we basically had, on our second round of IVF, we got blastocyst embryos, which is what is the dream, okay? So if a blastocyst embryo is an embryo that's divided and split, a bit more than a maybe like it's split several times, so it means that it's developed more. So it's like 2 weeks of growth.
It's made a start.
It's on its way. So it's like a really healthy embryo, and embryologists are like, if you get blastocysts, they're like, you're going to get pregnant, mate. Don't you worry about a thing. So we had put a blastocyst in and it hadn't worked. And it turned out it was something to do with Chloe's immune system was attacking the embryo. So she went on steroids. It was all fine. And then we got to the point where you stick them up and they say, how many do you want to stick in? Now you can only stick one. But at the time, you could stick two.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago. You could stick 12 up there if you wanted to. And they...
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
Never mind sticking things up there. What about letting things out there? Inga's here.
Let us out.
Save us. Hello, you're all right.
She's thrilled, listener. Sorry. She's thrilled.
You might need to find the knob in the other room.
There's a sense of, I can hear a sort of sense of resignation in Inga's tone.
It's like the
Welsh. The knob's in!
Very sorry.
Should we have a little wee break?
Yeah, shall we? Let's not hold it.
No, don't touch me, Ellie.
This is our
baby.
Oh,
Inga,
thank you very much.
Thank you, sorry about that.
Should we leave that in the room?
I'm going to gaffer tape the
door. Right. Oh, no, who's going to sit down?
Now the door's going.
Oh, great. What delivery have we got now?
What's a chair?
I love it. Is this just coming out? Yeah. That's almost like, how did that happen? Amazing. Literally, if you'd come like 15 minutes early, mate, we could not help you.
There's nothing you can do.
Sorry, I'm just looking
at... I'm going to have a wee.
I've got five myself.
Oh my god, are you kidding?
Five children!
What's the matter with you?
Oh no!
Why did you have five children?
I wanted girls, right? And I had three boys first.
But then you had a girl, why did you have another one?
Because he liked that one so much, he thought, let's have another one.
Why not?
She's got twins.
Boys.
You don't like having babies often then, because it's always two that pops out.
God.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day. Thank you. I'll take care. Right, we've got a chair and we can get in the room and have a piss.
Literally, that is hilarious.
And that chair turned up.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sorry.
What the hell were we talking about?
Just to update you, we had to pause the recording there. So the good news is Inga arrived. She's let us out of our prison. Mm. You don't have to piss in a red bucket. I'm quite disappointed, to be honest with you.
I can still manufacture that.
All right, we'll work something out. And a chair's been delivered as well. So that was...
But that was bizarre. Like, literally, yeah. Inga arrived and then he arrived. It's like, that couldn't have been timed better. If he had been just a little bit earlier, We'd have been like, mate, can you put it through the window?
Yeah, along with the delivery
guy. We would have had to leave it in the front garden, then we just have to watch for burglars. Because it is Catford. Anything, you know, you can't leave anything outside, really. Surprised that bamboo plant's still there. Anyway, so we were talking about... So you said, just a minute ago, you were saying you're only allowed to put one in now.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I think
Why
so.
Why have they changed it?
I think because they don't really like multiple births. I think if they could choose, they would just like there to be, you know, obviously embryos split, but rather than creating twins, they would prefer it if people just didn't do that. So yeah, that's why they now, I think it's a rule that it's one. I might have that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we stuck two in.
Yeah.
And Chloe was on these steroids. So that meant that her body was no longer attacking the embryos. She's got two up and we got twins, so that was that.
There we are.
The doctor basically went, look, I'm pretty sure if you stick two in, you'll get twins. And he's turned to me and he said, do you want twins? And I said, no. And he said, right, well, I'll just stick one in. And when we got to the point where we were doing it, Chloe said, I'd like to stick two in, please. And I didn't really feel like my opinion was respected. So that's what happened. And we got twins.
Yeah.
Which now... But they're five. Yeah. I'm like, great. I'm delighted. And I love them both very much. I mean, it means that we didn't have to go through the whole thing. Well, I say we. I mean, I didn't do anything. But Chloe doesn't have to do it all again. So to be fair.
It was the right.
It was kind of probably the right decision in some ways.
Because that's what so many twin mothers say. It's like, fucking hell for the first, like, 3-4 years. And then awesome because you've got a built-in playmate.
Yeah. And they love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they fight, obviously, because they're siblings, but... They really, you know, and they miss each other when the other one's not there. And, you know, it's lovely. So they get on and that's great. And that takes a lot of pressure off us because they've always got a buddy with them.
Mm.
So, but yeah, the first 3 years were hellish.
Oh, I like the bit you do in your show about trying to give them a biscuit and then the biscuit's broken and they don't want the biscuit. And then, oh, God.
That thing where you're negotiating with a 3-year-old about a biscuit that's broken in two, you're like, shoot me in the face. And also I didn't realize it was a thing. I didn't realize children didn't eat broken biscuits. I was like, I thought you just like biscuits, don't you?
No.
Do you not just like biscuits? Biscuit there, it's broken. You're like, oh my God. And then because I genuinely, I mean, obviously I joke about this in my set, but I genuinely used to try and stick the biscuit back together because I was like in this state of panic with this kid having a meltdown in a public place. I was going, oh, I'm going to put the biscuit back together for my special boy. And you think, what am I doing?
Like a bomb disposal expert. Like, if I get this wrong, like,
yeah. Exactly. But it's already gone wrong because they're having an absolute meltdown.
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah, I mean, you don't, all the, there's loads of things I wasn't expecting. Like, you know, I just thought we'd all be really, like, we'd just do so many things with nature because we live in Sussex and we'd just go out and play in the nature. And then they didn't like leaves or grass or mud or sand or they're just like asphalt and cement. And I was like, this isn't what I was expecting.
No.
I thought kids like nature, you know. Yeah. And, you know, you go out and I kept trying to take them to the park. And I remember we were in the park one day and one of them just started, literally kicked off, like screaming. And I thought, oh my God, is he dead? Something's happened. He's hurt himself and he had a leaf on his Wellington boot and I thought, I got this is not it's a leaf and I took the leaf off and he was fine. I was like, oh, we are
this is done now.
Yeah, let's
no more park.
No more parks. Yeah.
So you've been doing it for 5 years now. Have you got any nuggets of parenting wisdom, anything you wish you'd known at the start?
Well, I think the most important thing is that you don't assume that everyone is doing it better than you, and don't assume that you're doing it wrong, and don't you know, like, sometimes kids don't sleep, okay? All right, I want to say that I think people need to be more honest about that. I think we need to say that some kids don't sleep, and you can do the sleep training and you can do the whatever else and put a vacuum cleaner next to their ear roll and, you know, whisper sweet nothings into their ear and play Bach or whatever. And those pricks don't sleep. So, and if that is you, don't kill yourself. Just like whatever you need to do to get your baby, for you to sleep, then do that. If that means taking them into your bed, if that means lying on a bed next to their cot, if that, whatever it is, just do that. And don't, I felt like there was so much... For me, when our children weren't sleeping, there was so much advice. And it's like, do you think that I haven't tried that?
Yeah.
Do you think I just like not sleeping?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not nuts. We did the sleep training where you leave them and they cry and then you go in and then go resettle them and then you leave them. And then people would say shit like, take your baby, wait until they're not quite asleep, but nearly asleep. But they're not asleep, but place them when they're just not quite asleep. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? That, you know, like, what is not asleep but nearly asleep? And if they're not asleep and I put them down, they start crying.
Mm.
And if I put them down while they're asleep, why is that a problem? Then they wake up and they don't know where they are.
They're babies!
They're goldfish. I don't think they care.
Mine would always wake up anyway. The minute you released the fingers, that would be that. I think, and it's easy, obviously, to say this in hindsight, but I sort of vaguely remember it getting a bit easier when I sort of accepted that, like you say, they just didn't sleep because neither of my boys slept. And it was awful, really, really awful. And I think sometimes it can help if you just accept that they're not going to sleep and you're going to be fucked the next day, which is, again, very easy to say if you don't have a job.
Easy to say, yeah.
If you've got another child, then it's much harder. But, like, I would say just drink all the coffee. And my thing was I used to go to Sainsbury's and buy a ham knuckle at 9 a.m. and eat it in the car, like, just to make myself feel
better.
Yeah,
whatever it takes to feel better.
Whatever it takes. And it's none of it's going to make you feel completely better. It's not the same as sleep. It's not as good as sleep. Of course it is. But it will... It will go away, but then it's awful when people say that, isn't it?
No, but
well, that's not the fucking point now, is it?
Yeah, because then when people go, oh, you'd enjoy this bit because this bit goes so quickly, off. And you're like, well, what are you talking about? My day is 22 hours long. It couldn't go any slower if it tries. In fact, I want this to speed up. This bit I want to be over. When they're babies, you'll miss it. I don't miss it. I don't miss it. And it's hell on earth, and all that trite crap that people say, you know, they'll sleep when they're 6 months, or you wait until they're 2 years old, they'll sleep through the night. And it's like, sometimes these pricks don't sleep, and it's okay if that is your, if you have a child who isn't sleeping, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Just know that it is not your fault, and you're not doing anything wrong, it's them. Yeah.
And it's not your fault if it means that the next day you can't face putting makeup on or tidying your fucking house or going to that lunch you were supposed to go to, or like, or, you just have that, to look after yourself and get through it.
Or that silly little class that where you have to sing. Nobody wants to do that when you're tired.
And if your friend goes, why don't you go to Zumba anymore? Just tell them to fuck off.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Jen Brister. That's it. So that's your parenting nugget. Yeah. Just tell everyone to fuck off. I like
tell
it.
Tell everyone to fuck off. Just say, look, I'm tired. If you want to come and see me, I live here. Yeah. I see you. Yeah, you want to bring a bottle of wine? Sure, fine. Yeah. And then when it gets to 8:30, I'll be going to bed, but you're welcome to stay. Night night.
I may lock you in my front room, but there's a fireman's bucket. You'll be fine. There we go. So your book, Jen Brister, The Other Mother, is available now.
It is. It is. It's available. It's been available for a while. Please buy it.
It's so funny. And also, do you know what else is funny, Illy?
What's that?
Her show that's touring around the UK.
According to my dad, it's hilarious.
I think your dad is onto something there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, where are you going with your show?
All over the country. So I'm touring from March 1st all over, just basically anywhere that would allow me to perform. Mm. And I think I've got about 40 or 50 dates between March and the end of May. So you can catch me there. And my book is available in all good bookshops. And if the bookshop doesn't have it, it's not a good bookshop. Tell them to bloody well put it in their bookshop.
Yeah. So what kind of bookshop are you anyway?
Yeah.
Just a shop.
Come on. Why don't you have this lesbian on your shelves, huh?
Yeah, you homophobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say that.
No, don't say that. No, but you can say that.
You can get it in Brighton. You can get it in London.
Yeah.
Probably Manchester.
Not many homophobic bookshop owners in Brighton, I would imagine.
So I think they're pretty pro-homo.
Yeah, but you don't have to come to Brighton. Yeah, they're very pro-homo. You don't have to come to Brighton to buy it. You can actually just buy it online. Something called the internet.
Do you think, Helen, that Brighton is this homosexual mecca where all homosexual products are available at all times?
That's what Zoe Lyons told me in an ad.
Oh, I absolutely wish it was. I mean, we haven't... Our NCT group was really straight, and we haven't met any gays at our kids' school, so we're like, we feel cheated, actually.
That's a shame.
There needs to be more benders out there that need to come out and say, hello, we're here.
Mm. Do you feel a bit special, though? Do people always invite you to things for diversity?
No, not really. I don't really, I'm still negotiating the school run. I'm not sure I'm nailing that yet. But
because you're still in your first year of school, is that right?
Yeah, do you have any tips for that?
Stay away from the PTA.
It's tricky time.
Too late. Oh, Chloe's in. She's sucked it. Oh, she's a doer. She loves all that sort of stuff. Having a cake sale. What I didn't realise about schools, and I know we're going off topic here because we were trying to wind this whole thing up, but just quickly. The whole thing about schools is I didn't realise I had to give them a tenner a week for various different things that were like, oh, we're having a cake sale, or if kids are wearing blue today, so everyone needs a pair fiver, and oh, there's someone donate to the such and such PTA thing, and we're having an event about... It's like,
it wasn't like that when we were little.
What is it? Isn't the government paying for this school, or am I paying for this school?
No.
It turns out that if you go to a nice school, it's because you're surrounded by a load of middle-class people who've got cash, which really winds me up.
It is a constant asking for money, but you know, essentials must be bought, Helen, isn't that right?
Yeah.
What's your school saving up for?
My school is saving up for a wood fired pizza oven, so we're doing a bit of a whip around. So
are you absolutely fucking joking?
In the playground, I mean, wood fired pizza oven.
Why do you need a wood fired pizza? Go fuck yourself.
I mean, I do a comedy fundraiser.
I don't know what's wrong with a normal pizza oven.
Do a lot of these school fundraisers, and it's like, well, it's been really important for the kids to have they to experience wood fire pizza. Really? Is it? Why can't they do it? Well, I grew up on bloody pizza, and it never did me any harm. Oh, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I will get sucked in. I'm no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. There's plenty of good ones actually. Yeah, I think they all seem quite normal actually. I thought they were all going to be fucking weird, but they're not.
No, you get.
No, it turns out you're the weird one. You know that.
You know when you're like, who's the weird one? It's you. It's actually you.
Oh, well, there we go. Now, where can people follow you on the social media?
On socials, on Jen Brister Twitter, Jen Brister Comedy on Instagram, because somebody took my account, put my photograph up there. It isn't me. So I have to add comedy at the end, which actually makes me sound like I don't know what comedy is. And also on Jen Brister on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page thing. I do put stuff up on that, like, occasionally. But, I mean, God, I mean, we're all busy, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're all busy lives. But do buy the book. It's funny.
Buy the book and...
make you feel better as a parent.
Do you sell the book at your shows?
I will be selling the books when I'm on tour, yeah.
Yeah. So why not do that?
Like a hound.
Go get the book and then go to the show. It's excellent.
And I'll sign it for you. And that you'll like that, won't you?
We love.
I feel like you're giving people a long to-do list, guys. Just
just let it go.
Just start following.
See how you feel, really.
Yeah. Google it. Okay. All right. Nice. Now, should we end with the Scummy Mummy confession, Ellie?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot that bit. We've only done 168 episodes, and I forgot that we always finish with the Scummy Mummy confession. All right. Let me think. Go on. We got one.
I've got one. So, as I've mentioned on the previous podcast, I flew to Australia at Christmas time.
Wow, lush. Oh, no, not lush. Fires. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. All my family are okay. So, I mean, that's what's important.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so I did a 24-hour flight with my two children and my very nice husband. And anyway, so my daughter had decided that she was going to be sick on the 24-hour flight. She'd said, pain food makes me sick, mummy. I'm going to be sick when the food comes out. And I was like, don't.
Wow.
It's like The Secret, right? She, what's the word? She
manifested.
Anyway, so we leave London, 9:30 at night. About an hour into the flight, the food comes.
Oh, God.
Daughter's on the window seat, son in the middle seat, me on the aisle, my husband, of course, not with the children, on the other side.
Right.
Head back, mouth open, in a deep sleep. The woman comes and I signal at her, the international signal, wave, 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 don't put the food down. She doesn't quite understand what I'm trying to tell her through
she's
my hands.
She's very enthusiastic. Yay, about food! This
I'm like, so she goes, what? Puts the food down in front of my son on the tray. Matilda was like, no, no, no. And so she puts her hand over. I'm like, don't you spew, don't you spew. She goes, and then vomits on her brother's food tray.
Oh, sure.
So splash, splash, splash.
Sure, sure, sure.
All right, he goes, oh my God, that's so gross. He spews on her spew.
Oh, no, Helen, stop.
They had iPads and earphones, like all the cords, right? God. Everything was sticky and spewy.
Oh, God.
Hugo was in a very heavy fleece Pikachu onesie. That was lovely. And then by this stage, my husband's asleep and I just turn to him and go, well, and the
whole plane turns around. He's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And we're just like, we're all like
covered in vom,
spew monsters. And then like, and the poor air hostesses are going, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Bags, I need bags." And we just all took our clothes off and put them in bags, big spew bags. And then she spewed every hour on the hour for the next 24 hours. And that was our drift.
After like hour 20, surely there was nothing left.
No, she was just going, like spew air and a little bit of bile. And then and all these people kept going, "Can I give you some anti-nausea drugs?" I was like, no, no. Yeah, so anyway.
You're going to spew anyway, do it there. Yeah,
so then I just want to say thank you to the staff at Etihad Airways because they were very nice and they gave us a lot of hot towels and a lot of bags. But yeah, the spew on spew, I think, was a personal scummy highlight. I mean, that will enter family legend from now on.
That's next.
And
level.
Also, I've still got the visual of all of those cables being entangled in vom.
Yeah, no, it's all just sticky and like a spider web of grot. Anyway,
that's cradle of vomit. Lush.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's tough to top that. I'm not saying you have to top that. Have you got a scummy mummy confession to share, Jen?
Well, I mean, I don't really. I mean, I do. I mean, I've got loads of things, but I'm just thinking, I can't compete with that. But we went to a mate's 40th birthday last week. Was it last week or the week before? And I hadn't really been out because I'd been working. So obviously I'm out late, but I'm working. So I'm not out, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing anything. And for the 40th, Chloe had got my mum to babysit and we were going to go out and she was like, let's go out.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's go out. We're going to go out. She was like, yeah, we're going to go out. So we went out.
Well, how out are you going? We've been 4 days in Amsterdam. What are we talking?
Well, I mean, not far off. I mean, we were like drinking like we didn't have children. And we got absolutely totaled, and I haven't been drunk like that for a very, very long time. We stayed out. We ended up in Revenge in Brighton, which is this gay. Oh god, it was terrible.
Is that on the seafront?
Yeah,
on that corner. Yeah.
So we were there. Hashtag living our best lives until 4:30 in the morning. Right, I don't know what the fuck we thought we were doing. My mum was babysitting, and she said, "I will get up in the morning, and you know, so you guys can have a couple of hours extra sleep." Anyway. My mum did not get up in the morning.
Oh, no.
We could not wake her. And my children woke up at 6.
Oh, my God.
So we arrived home and it was my turn to get up with the kids, Chloe made very clear to me. So I arrived home.
Your turn.
Right about 5 o'clock in the morning. Literally, I felt like I shut my eyes before I had 2 5-year-olds sitting on my chest. Can we go downstairs now? Can we go downstairs? And I had to go downstairs with my 2 5-year-old children, drunk. Drunk, actually still drunk. Mm. And I have never felt more actual, just consumed with self-loathing than having 2 innocent little faces going, "Mama, do you want to play Lego?" And me just breathing like Sambuca and flipping vodka at them like, "Yeah, kids, let's play, yeah." So grim, such a grimbo. And literally then that was it. It was, shall we watch another movie?
Yay.
I literally couldn't get off the sofa all day. And we literally just watched shit on telly. That's terrible, isn't it?
It's we've all done it. I did it, not this New Year's Eve, but previous New Year's Eve. We went for it. My mum off to babysit again, stay over. Lovely, thank you very much. So we went for a quiet dinner with some friends.
Yeah.
Not quiet. The friends didn't have any. It was 3 gay blokes. They didn't have any children. Not a quiet dinner. And we got home at 6 a.m. At which point, my mum had got up with the kids already.
Oh no! So you walk in, so and the kids are already up.
My mum did this thing where she goes, "Have you got the hangover?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got a hangover, mum." She went, "I've never had a hangover. I never felt the need to get that drunk." And I was like, "Okay, thanks for that, mum. That's helped a lot. Thank you for that." So you've slept through and then you've woken up and given me quite a harsh judgment there on my life choices.
Will she be doing it again soon, do you think?
What, sleeping through? Probably, yeah.
Yeah. As I say, this was New Year's Eve before last. So this New Year's Eve, we stayed in. We let the 8-year-old stay up to watch. We said, "Oh, we'll watch a film. That'll be nice. And we'll, you know, you can choose the film." He chose the 2nd Johnny English movie. So that was a fucking treat.
Awful. Oh, awful.
God.
I hate Rowan Atkinson.
Do you know what? It was not as bad as I thought. But
you hate Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah. Oh. I find him really smug and annoying.
Mm. Yeah, is that more recently because of his young wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no. Fair enough. Carry on.
So then we stayed, and then, but of course we told Charlie he could stay up for the first time ever till midnight to watch the fireworks. But by half ten, we were just ready to die. And he was just like, no, come on, fireworks! And we were like, okay. So,
because obviously you were watching Jules Holland Hogmanay.
Which is recorded in October.
Yeah. And everyone's going, yay!
No, you know, we watched Craig David.
Did you
know what a big Craig David
massive
fan?
Oh, he was on BBC doing the fireworks.
BBC doing his, Bo Selector. He saved Bo Selector till after midnight. So it was the first song I heard of 2020. And I thought, that shows how far we've come, doesn't it?
What a great start.
What a great decade it was.
Great decade.
Robbie Williams did it the year before.
With the hand
sanitizer.
Yeah.
Oh. That was so good. And he didn't want to touch the public. Anyway, what a way to end the podcast.
Craig David's a people's hero. Anyway. He loves being called that. I expect.
Put on a t-shirt, Elliot, and run to his house.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's the end. Yes, we're at Scummy Mummies. You can buy tickets and check the dates for our live show, which, as we've established, is not as good as Jen's.
Oh, please.
If you go to Scummy Mummies, according to my dad. If you go to scummymummies.com.
Yeah, and we've got about 26 shows. In the same time you're doing 40.
You're doing your show the day... I mean, here's a double whammy. Go see the Scummy Mummies in Brighton on the 1st of April and then come and see me on the 2nd of April.
Oh,
why not?
We could leave a little love note in lipstick on the... On the
mirror.
Yeah, go and see yours on the... Is it yours first? Yours on the first?
No, yours
on the first. Go see yours on the first. Go to Revenge in Brighton. Get
just,
absolutely off
just
your
Just go tip. Straight through.
Turn up at my completely hungover.
Yeah, turn up at Jen's off your
absolutely off
heckler.
Your
tits. Yeah. So perhaps something homophobic. I don't know. It's up to you. I'll leave it up to you. Yeah. Do what you like.
Surprise me.
Either way.
Yes. Perhaps you're bitter about the failure of your bookshop. I don't know. It's up to you. Anyway.
We must end this, Ellie.
This is the longest ending of anything.
It's just, it never starts and then it takes 4 hours to end. Please sponsor us for the marathon. We're getting there, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I completely forgot that you were doing that. I'll sponsor you. I'll sponsor you now. How do I do it? Online.
Just give me £10. I'll definitely put it in the jar. I'm running for Born, which is a premature babies research charity. The premature babies don't do the research, that would be too hard. It's their researching.
They've got enough on their plate, they're premature.
They've got quite a lot to do. Yes.
They can't even hold a pen. Useless.
Well, mine was actually quite advanced. And you're running for Women's Aid.
I'm running.
Are you running?
I'm running for Rimming's Aid. Rimming Aid? You're running for Rimming Aid?
Yes. We need to have a Rimming Awareness Day.
Guys, I'm just feeling this has got really homophobic.
Did we say that? We're a massive homophobe.
Listen, straight people rim. Don't be so homonormative.
That's very true. There's loads of women that
didn't like it.
There's loads of women that like to lick their husband's hairy assholes.
Hang on, wait a minute, Jen Brister. You've done rimming?
No, I did. Yes.
Were you the rimmer or the rimmy?
No, I licked his bottom and I didn't like it.
Did he ask?
Did he shave it?
No.
Was it hairy?
Oh no, yes, he did. I think he.
And he'd had a wash though, eh?
Yeah.
You don't want to get anything in your teeth.
But did he ask you? Will you rim my bottom?
Me?
Yeah. Did he?
No, we all just got all, you know, licky.
Wow. Well, I've had quite an upset. I've never thought in the throes. Oh, do you know what would be nice if I licked their arsehole?
I was just licking around the areas, but I wouldn't. I didn't like it. It was not my.
Well,
thing.
I mean, I could have told you. I mean, anyway. Helen, you won't like it. I'll be the judge of that. No, you're right. It's absolutely horrific. I've got something in my teeth.
So we had a nugget of wisdom earlier from Jen. We've now had another one. Don't lick a hairy man's arsehole.
No, don't. There's no need.
There's better things to put in your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
And on that bombshell, I feel like we've probably covered everything.
I don't think there's anything else that we can add to that.
Oh, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I mean, if you have, fuck me.
Seriously, get iPlayer or something. Something else to do.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
The new Picard's out. Get onto that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
All right. Are you all right, Jen?
Yeah.
Are you glad you came?
All this way.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ourselves.
Oh,
Hooray!
Well, guys, that was quite the podcast. Wasn't it? I don't think I've done an eventful podcast as that ever.
Wait a minute, have I locked the door again?
Add to that.
Wait a minute, have I locked the door again?
No!
No, it's all right, it's fine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.